see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Community In Depth. This is very special because I have one of my friends in studio with us, and I'm so excited to welcome Jean McGree to KDWA. Jean is a Hastings resident, and we are going to learn more about her on this very special Getting to Know You episode. Great to see you. How have you been?
Just great.
Well,
just
you look great. You're wearing a lovely pink vest, and that's a perfect color for you.
Well, anything to detract from the wrinkles, you know. But every one of them were well earned.
No kidding. Jean, so before we went on the air, I asked if I could ask you about your family and your age, and you were very kind and told me that I could. So tell us how many years ago you were born.
I was born in 1929, 92 years ago, and my mother always said, I came with the Big Depression, which I was born like September 3rd of 29, so the Big Depression was really started like October, right after my birth. So, and I think my middle name is Eleanor because my mother loved Eleanor Roosevelt's column in the daily paper that was syndicated, My Day. Eleanor Roosevelt was a lady ahead of her time.
She was a lady ahead of her time, wasn't she?
Yes, I think she helped with founding the UN organization after World War II and everything. But getting back to my mother, she was the daughter of Irish immigrant parents that came over during the potato famine. And she was lucky enough to go to high school in Red Wing, and they sold butter on the streets to pay for piano lessons for her. Her Irish mother wanted her daughters to be cultured, so my mother was a country school teacher, and she married the local farmer.
Well, you know, that's really well ahead of her time, though, to have completed high school back in that long ago. What was your mother's maiden name?
O'Keefe. And she and her sister drove horse and buggy to Red Wing to high school. They lived in what was called Burnside. And her father had passed away with some plague or virus. Of course, in those days, no penicillin, no nothing.
And how old would he have been?
Well, my mother was only 4 or 5 years old, so her mother struggled on the farm. But
she was a tough Irish one.
Yes, she was. And she's in some of the NSP. They did the University of Minnesota was doing rural electrification studies on farms down in the Red Wing area, and my folks were one of them. So NSP has some of the pictures of my dad driving into the yard with the lantern on his hay rack, and then of my mother bathing kids in wash tubs and things like that. But anyway, getting back to my mother, she taught school, and of course women didn't have cars in those days, although my mother did learn to drive. A neighbor man taught her to drive when she was a young student, and she taught out in Goodhue County, and she roomed and boarded with who later became her sister-in-law. Because my mother, the school teacher, married the local farmer out there in Goodhue County. And she was truly a woman ahead of her time, I think. She was a good mom and survived. And with no electricity in those days, no drinking water, we had to carry well water. And truly, in the fall, Of course, everybody had huge gardens and did a lot of canning, and I think it was mostly homegrown produce, except for she'd buy a crate or two of peaches, and that was
a real treat.
Red Wing stores, and that was a treasure. So, but she was a farm wife, and in those days, the Christmas season, well, actually is more of a religious in this German farm community. It was more the season of Advent was spent with a lot of church going and things like that, and of course, come and preparing. And it started, the men started with the butchering season, and neighbor men would get together and butcher a sheep or a hog, and they'd make sausage, and which all contributed to the food supply in the winter months. And we had our own apple grove, and they even made crab apple pickles and things like that. And everybody made sauerkraut, of course. And
how did your mom do with all of these German traditions?
Well, she you know, like the Orientals say, you bend with the wind. You do what needs to be done. And everybody in the farm family in those days had a job. And we were seven girls and one boy. But some had to haul wood and see that the wood box was filled. We had to carry water from the well for washing clothes and for taking baths. And the old, huge, old kitchen range was the mainstay of the whole house. It heated the house, heated the wash water, and there was a reservoir attached to that stove that kept warm water. But we had a pump at the sink for drinking water, and as I say, some people picked eggs, some carried washing water and drinking water, and some helped with milking the cows, and everybody had a job.
So your folks were farmers.
Yes, yes.
So you are a miller.
Yes.
And where was this farm, Jean?
This was right 6 miles south of Goodyew, in Goodyew County, and it was near 2 miles from the little town of Belchester.
Sure.
And that was our nearest. And we went to the parochial school there because that was the closest. And, of course, there were no hot lunches in those days and no backpacks. There were there were homemade book bags to carry our books in. And, of course, no school lunches. And I can remember, and my sisters and I laugh about it, what was our lunch pail was the empty and washed-out Caro syrup pans. They were a metal pan with a little handle. That was our lunch bucket, where we took our homemade bread sandwiches to the school. And, of course, we walked the 2 miles to school, unless the snowbanks were too high, and our dad would hitch up the horses to a grain wagon and then drive us into the school covered with horse blankets to keep warm. But it was...
Jean, how, I know that you mentioned your large family. Can you tell me about your siblings?
Okay. I can remember my oldest sister, my three oldest sisters went to Goodyew to high school, but they had to stay in town, and most of them worked for the room and board. They did some babysitting or house cleaning, and they took their bacon and eggs along with them because there was no school buses in those days. But they were fortunate, and of course, my dad had not had a high school education. He had to stay on the farm and work. So he didn't even think it was necessary for girls to go to high school. And because many farm girls just married other local farmers at a young age and didn't have a career of their own. But my three oldest sisters all went to the Goodyear High School, and the third oldest graduated her last year in Hastings, because we moved to Hastings, and they were just installing the REA lines into the homes at that time. That was Rural Electrification Association. And our home, the people who bought our farm when we left there after the Depression years, they were just installing the electric lines. We had battery-operated radios, and we had the telephone where you could call, like an emergency, but you were on a line with other people. So
on party the, lines really yes, fascinate
on,
me.
On the crank telephone things that hung on the wall, I know our line calling number or signal was a long and a short and a long. But our neighbors maybe had two shorts and a long or something. They could listen in on your conversations, if which people did. I mean, you were isolated, sort of.
So that was life. That was a pastime. Yeah. Interesting.
And, of course, in the fall, all the canning and like I say, butchering and making sausage and sauerkraut and all those things for the winter months. And, of course, everybody talks about canned meat. The beef broth and juice was delicious. It made wonderful
soups and
hot dishes. But everybody canned meat because, of course, no refrigeration. But we survived well. And like I said, each of us had some had to pick eggs and some had to take hay to the horses or do outdoor chores. I mean, the girls did too.
Jean, where do you fall in the line of your siblings?
I was, we had four girls, and then my brother Ray, who was a postmaster, and he's passed now. And then there were three after that. Of course, my dad was looking for boy babies every time. And to help with them. And the first bike we ever had for all of us was, of course, a boy's bike. And when we moved to Hastings, and we could only afford one set of ice skates for Wilson Park ice rink, and of course they were black boys' ice
hockey
skates that,
yeah.
that everybody wore. But getting back to the preparations for Christmas, I know that for Christmas, we had, of course, our own duck and geese that we raised, and we also even had lambs in the orchard under the trees, and they sheared sheep and made their own quilts. The women would have quilting parties, and they had, there was a big frame, a wood frame that they passed around, and that was kind of a social time for women. They could have a quilting party. They'd send the sheep's wool when they were sheared by someone that came around and sheared. We'd send them to the Faribault woolen mills, and they'd card the wool into what was ended up as a quilt. And very often, that was a social time for women to do quilting. But people helped each other tremendously, even with the thrashing crews. You worked from one farm to the next and shared the equipment, because not everyone had a thrashing machine. But we always ate well, and of course, Saturday was bread baking day, and I think my mother... We'd end up having maybe cinnamon rolls on Sunday, but everything was homemade, and the pies for Christmas dinner were called mincemeat pies. Well, it was mostly like apples and raisins and things like that, and maybe a lot of cinnamon and that sort of thing. And, of course, we always had whipping cream because we had our own milk and cream. But I should say our decorations were mostly not Christmas trees with lights on, obviously. We had no electricity, and you didn't use candles in the house. But most of the things, they'd bring in some branches of the evergreens, and mostly our decorations in the house were cutouts of, like, church windows and more of a religious theme for Christmas decorations in the house. And we had homemade stable with little figures in. I don't know where they came from, maybe Germany or somewhere. And we had, for the meal, we'd have duck or turkey and sage stuffing. And Mother would always make popcorn balls and divinity, because we had eggs, you know, so the divinity candy was a special. And if we had ice cream, we had our own ice cream freezer, and the ice came from chopping the frozen ice out of the cow's water tank. And we had the hand freezer, and I still have my mother's recipes for the custard that went into homemade ice cream. And, you know, the meat was frozen and in the garage and hung, and sausage was made, and you could buy, we had the sausage maker machine, but you had to buy the casings to hold the sausage, and that was a routine food staple, and it was kept cold. In the summer months, I can remember them hanging a bucket down the well, which was our well water. Our drinking water was under the house or right by the side of the house, and we'd hang down our butter and things in the well in a pail, you know, with a rope, so to keep it cold, because there was no refrigeration. So it was, you know, how we survived and were healthy and well kept, really. And
we're going to take a little break. Our guest today is Jean McGree, and we are talking to her about growing up and what a fascinating life you've had. And this is AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue, clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by. I see friendship